The next case is number 05-1721, the United States against Sean D. Adamson. Mr. Kirchner.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court. My name is Bob Kirchner. I'm appearing on behalf of Sean Adamson, who is the defendant in this case. We're here as a result of a denial of a motion to suppress by the district court. The issues relating to the search and seizure of my client were preserved pursuant to a conditional plea. Specifically, the district court's order, at page 2 of that order, found that Officer Kelly, a probation officer, was justified in his stop and detention of my client and three other individuals because, quote, these individuals matched the description of the individuals who had been in the room where drugs were found. With respect to that finding by the district court, the record reflects the following. The probation officer in this case, Steve Kelly, had gone to a hotel named Hannah's Inn, February 9th of 2004, looking specifically for two persons he was supervising on probation. Neither of those two persons was my client. He found one of the individuals that he was looking for in a hotel room at Hannah's Inn, and in entering the room, found what he described as drug paraphernalia and a residue of marijuana. Mr. Kelly testified that that probationer said that he and others whom he did not know had used drugs. His only identification of the individuals who he said he did not know was, quote, two black males and a couple of white individuals. The record reflects no further identification, no further description, no age, nothing to identify the individuals who had been in the hotel room other than two black males and a couple of white individuals. The other probationer that Kelly was looking for that day was a white individual, and when Kelly left that hotel room, he went to look for the other probationer. He was not looking for my client, and he was not looking for a black male for whom he was supervising probation. Kelly exited the hotel and saw two black males, a white female, and a white male. My client was in that group of four people. My client is an African-American male. Kelly testified that he recognized my client, and he recognized him because he had supervised my client when my client was a minor approximately 8 years earlier. He also testified that during that period of supervision, drugs had been found in my client's residence, and I would again emphasize that this was 8 years earlier. Kelly had also testified during the suppression hearing that he recognized the other black male who was present with my client, and that male had had prior drug convictions. He did not know the other two individuals. So at this point, what the record reflects is that Kelly had been in a hotel room. There had been paraphernalia, residue of marijuana. He was searching for a probationer. The probationer said others had been in the room, two black males and a couple of white individuals. He exits from the hotel. This isn't even in the proximity of the room. And he locates a group of four individuals, including my client, and stops them. He also detains them by telling them that he wants them to stay there until the police arrive so he can clear up the issues about what was in the hotel room, meaning the drugs and the drug paraphernalia. Kelly testifies my client's demeanor 8 years after he had had acquaintance with him as a minor was different on this occasion. And that's cited by the district court as some basis for the denial of the motion to suppress. He also testified that my client had a white bag of some type that was being held across his chest, and he was holding on to that bag. So what we have at this point in the record to justify this stop and detention is essentially nothing more than a generic description by race of individuals that had been in a hotel room, and Officer Kelly's prior knowledge from 8 years earlier when my client was a minor that he had had drugs found in his place of residence. After speaking to these four individuals for about 4 to 5 minutes and prior to any police arriving, Kelly requests that they stay. About 10 minutes later, so we're 15 minutes into this encounter, some of the police officers arrive, including an officer, Gable. 10 minutes after that, while they are continuing to be detained, two other officers arrive, Clark and Newland. And it is after that arrival, about 25 minutes after the initial stop and detention, that there is a pat-down of my client. He's asked whether or not they can search him. My client's response, according to the record to Officer Clark, is whatever. And he is directed to place this white bag that he had into the back of a pickup truck, which was in the vicinity of where they were being detained. He does that. A pat-down is conducted. They find nothing. While that is going on, Kelly describes his conduct as being an outside search, a pat-down of this white bag, which is in the pickup truck. And Kelly says that he felt what he believed to be a weapon at that point, and then there is a more extensive search by the police of that bag. Our position with respect to the detention of my client is that the detention was improper, and the district court erred in both finding that the detention was proper and that there was consent with respect to the detention and the subsequent search. There is no basis in the record for a finding by the district court which serves as the foundation for the district court's opinion that the individuals matched the description of the individuals who had been in the room, unless it is a sufficient descriptive characterization to say that saying two black males and a couple other white individuals were in the room is a sufficient description to stop and detain people. The case law, which we've cited and referred to in our brief, stands for exactly the opposite. And the government has cited no cases which indicate a mere description by race of individuals in a general geographical vicinity. And keep in mind that the justification for this detention and seizure and subsequent search was what was in the hotel room. There's no evidence to connect any of these four individuals, most importantly my client, to what was in the hotel room other than race. There's no indication in the record, no testimony by Officer Kelly, that he noticed anything to indicate drug delivery or activity, as in one of the cases cited by the government where they believe there was a baggie being delivered. There's no indication of any odd or unusual behavior or demeanor. There's no indication of identification by name, height, weight, anything. Simply, they were outside the hotel. And it's our position that that is simply insufficient as a matter of law to justify that stop or detention. The consent issue revolves in part around the notion that the finding by the district court that there was consent both to the stop and detention, waiting for the police officers to arrive for the first 15 minutes, again waiting for another 10 minutes for the second set of officers to arise, and the court finds that even without that consent, there was reasonable suspicion. We disagree on all counts, and our citations in our brief illustrate the fact that if there is a alleged consent by virtue of coercion, and the government bears the burden on the issue of voluntariness, but if there's a consent by coercion, that is also insufficient. And we would ask that this court grant the relief prayed for and reverse the district court's decision.
Thank you, counsel. We'll hear now from Mr. Miller.
May it please the court, counsel. I'm Eugene Miller on behalf of the United States. In this case, much of the defense brief and the argument goes to the issue of whether there was reasonable suspicion for the Terry stop and the search. But there's a fundamental problem with that argument, and that is the district court's alternative, actually its initial holding for both the stop and the search, which is that they were based on consent of the defendant. And that's based on the historical facts that were found by the district court at the suppression hearing. And the defense has not challenged the district court's historical fact-finding and has not argued that the court clearly erred in those findings. And in those findings, the district court found, first of all, that the defendant consented to stand by to remain at the scene until the police arrived to sort out the situation, and that the defendant, when he replied, whatever, when asked if he could be patted down for weapons, also consented to a search for weapons. So without contesting the court's historical findings of historical fact, the defendant cannot prevail here. And that's especially true in this case because the court's findings of historical fact were based on its observation of the testimony of the witnesses at the suppression hearing. The government presented four witnesses who testified. The defense presented two witnesses who testified, and the district court explicitly found that the government's witnesses were more credible than the defendant's witnesses, citing inconsistencies in the defendant's witnesses' testimony and his ability to observe the demeanor of the witnesses. So on those grounds, although defense refers to it as a stop and detention, as this court has held in Childs and the Supreme Court has held in Drayton, the initial encounter doesn't implicate the Fourth Amendment. When Officer Kelly asked the defendant questions if he had been in the hotel room, that's permissible under without implicating the Fourth Amendment because it's a consensual encounter. Then when Officer Kelly asked the defendant if he would stand by until the police arrived to sort this out, as the district court, he complied, and he consented to stay. There's been, although defense counsel raised the voluntariness of that consent, he has not argued in his brief or certainly not raised any issues concerning that voluntariness. There was no question that Officer Kelly did not tell them they couldn't leave. He did not pull a gun. He didn't do any of the things that we would typically think of that would cause a reasonable person to think that they were not free to leave. And as we note in the brief, Officer Kelly testified he had had prior encounters with the defendant before. They weren't simply limited to 8 years previously. He had had, this is in Coles County, Illinois, relatively small county population-wise, and he had had many encounters with this defendant and indicated that in many of those encounters the defendant had been argumentative and the defendant had felt free to leave and terminate those encounters. On this encounter, it was different. The defendant was nervous, according to Officer Kelly and the other officers, and not argumentative, he did not leave. So as the threshold matter, the district court found, based on its findings of historical fact, which of course are due deference by this court, that the defendant consented both to stay at the scene until the police arrived and consented to the pat-down search that found the gun. And we believe that's really dispositive of this case. If the court would like, I'll be happy to discuss the court's alternative findings, which we argue in our brief that there was also reasonable suspicion both to stop a Terry, conduct a Terry stop of the defendant and then to conduct a pat-down search for weapons based on the defendant's past involvement with weapons, including, more specifically, that the day before, a woman in town had made a police report that the defendant had displayed a gun to her, and that information had been relayed to officers as an officer safety alert, which they were aware of that very next day when they encountered the defendant who was acting nervous and clutching the pillowcase. But again, I believe that the consent issue is dispositive, and if the court doesn't have any questions about reasonable suspicion, I'll return the balance of my time.
Well, thank you, Mr. Miller.
Thank you.
Mr. Kirchner, you have a minute left.
With respect to Officer Kelly's interaction with my client, at page 11 of the transcript, line 22, he specifically asked how he recognized Sean Adamson, and he says he recognized him because he had been on juvenile probation and he had accompanied some of the juvenile probation officers to his residence before, where at one time we found drugs in the residence. I don't believe the record reflects or supports the argument or assertion that there had been many encounters between my client and Officer Kelly in that intervening time period. The issue of consent and voluntariness was both raised and addressed in the district court. It was specifically ruled upon. It has been adequately preserved. Drayton, the case cited by counsel, specifically holds that cooperation and voluntariness and consent, which is induced by coercion, is not sufficient to support a consent finding. I believe that the record adequately reflects the fact that there was no awareness by anyone of any assertion, even an assertion, that my client had a weapon until after the second set of officers arrived. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Kirchner. Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.